Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Yelton, we have a podcast.
Diving deep into all things Texas,
both on and off the field.
Here's Sean Pendergast.
Welcome
to Utopia.
I'm Sean Pendergast, one half of Payne and Pendergast on Sports Radio 610. Great to be with you as we are just a couple days removed from the NFL draft. So on today's episode, which is emanating live from 24 Greenway Plaza, I am not in my home studio because the windows are getting replaced in my apartment today. That's right. I live in a 15th floor apartment and I'm getting the windows replaced today. They're having to replace all the windows of a 40-story high-rise of my building. It's a long story, but it involves windows breaking this past summer when the heat got to be too much, literally shattering and glass showering down on top of the swimming pool where I live, which is on the 9th floor. So today is my day to get the windows replaced at my apartment. So I'm in studio and ready to rock and roll here and talk about the Texans' 2024 draft class. And also take some of your mailbag questions. We got some good mailbag questions this week. A quick reminder, if you do want to email the show, houmailbag@gmail.com. You can see that. If you're streaming and you're watching video, you can see that at the bottom of the screen, houmailbag@gmail.com. Send in some good off-season questions because the draft, I would say the next big thing after the draft is the schedule release. And then we're kind of off into the weeds. We got OTAs and mini camp and things like that. But we're really kind of the schedule release is really the last kind of hardcore off-season thing until we get to training camp. There'll be plenty to talk about with OTAs and mini camp and whatnot. But as far as mailbag questions go, this is a good time to send maybe some offbeat ones that we can use on Tuesdays. If you listen to the podcast, you know, Tuesday is mailbag day, and Thursday is guest day. No guests lined up yet for Thursday, but we'll have a good one for you. I promise you that. This Thursday. A reminder as well to subscribe to the podcast if you don't already, if you're just finding the podcast. Subscribe, give it a rating, give it a review. That all helps. The numbers have been getting better and better and better. There was podcast money in my check last week, so that was good. Great to see. And good to see the subscribership growing for the podcast. Appreciate everybody joining me on this journey that is going to be an epic, epic Houston Texans 2024 season. They were rated fourth today in the Bleacher Report post-draft power rankings. That's how far they've come in a year. I know the power rankings don't mean squat, but they're fun to think about. And I do think they're indicative. This is obviously indicative of the trajectory of the team. A reminder as well that tomorrow, Wednesday, I'm recording this on Tuesday at 7:30 a.m., Nick Caserio, the Texans executive vice president and GM, will join me and Seth, and we'll break down the draft with him and talk about all the things going on this offseason. Probably won't review draft report cards with him because he hates them. Probably won't go through the power rankings with Nick. I probably won't lead with, hey, Nick, did you see your fourth in the Bleacher Report post-draft power rankings? I probably will not lead with that. There may be some WWE talk that happens. I can't totally stray away from the formula that's worked with him. So, but it'll be mostly draft in the offseason and where he sees this team headed as we get to as we head to training camp. And it's going to be really fun to see what the schedule looks like when it comes out in early May. So we'll probably do that happens on a Thursday night. I'm guessing we'll do a bonus podcast for that. But anyways, let's get right to it and let's talk about the Texans 2024 full draft class. This is my first chance on the podcast to do that. So I want to go through each of the nine rookies that they drafted. I'm not going to go through the undrafted guys on this podcast, but the nine guys that they drafted. And I always like to look at stuff in a best case, worst case scenario. You guys know that from when the Diggs trade happened. When Stephon Diggs was traded here, I like to look at best case, worst case. I thought best case with the Stephon Diggs trade, you've created the greatest show on turf part two with all this firepower and with CJ Stroud as your quarterback. The worst case is he becomes a diva and you cut him midseason, you know? So that's how I looked at that. I want to look at best case and worst case for each of the nine draft picks for their rookie season, not for their career, but just for the upcoming season. And I can tell you what I thought of each of the picks too. I by and large thought a lot of the picks made sense. I was a little caught off guard that they drafted a tackle in the second round in Blake Fisher out of Notre Dame. I've watched a ton of Blake Fisher being a Notre Dame grad. I've watched every snap of his career. He's a really good player. But I was surprised that that was the position they chose to go with there. And other than that, just nothing super surprising. You know, you had 2 second round picks. You had a third round pick in Kalen Bullock. Cade Stover seems to be a player Nick Caserio really likes in the fourth round. And then 2 sixth rounders and 3 seventh rounders. So just sort of your garden variety draft, not having a first round pick. And so I think the big question that would get asked would be, okay, what if they hadn't made the trade back from 23 to 42? What if they had stayed at 23? And I think what you need to understand is if you're somebody who likes the fact that Stephon Diggs is a Houston Texan, you would not have had Stephon Diggs in all likelihood. You know, that second round, an extra second round pick they picked up, they almost immediately, you know, immediately meaning a matter of days, flipped over to Buffalo and gave that pick to them for Stephon Diggs. I didn't get to 23 in the draft and look around and go, boy, there's a guy that I'm killing myself that the Texans aren't on the board to get. There were some good players there. And I think Terrion Arnold, the cornerback from Alabama that went a pick later, would have been a really good pick right there, especially considering the Texans went corner with Kamari Lassiter and the 42nd pick. But I love the firepower they've assembled with Diggs. Even if it ends up being a one-year rental, this is fun. It's fun having an aggressive team like this. I think it's a great message to CJ Stroud that they're always going to try to do what's best to put him in a position to succeed. And in the meantime, you know, what's the drop-off from Terrion Arnold to Kamari Lassiter? You know, in terms of physical traits, there's a drop-off because Lassiter ran a slower 40 than a lot of the top-tier cornerbacks did. He ran a 4.6, 5.40 at his pro day. Terrion Arnold is a faster player than Kamari Lassiter. It doesn't mean he's a better football player, but that's why Lassiter is going 19 picks later. So I didn't, the first night of the draft, and I think I probably said this when I did the bonus episode on Friday or on late Thursday night, my feeling was that I went into day two, the second and third round, very enthusiastic that the Texans would come away with a couple of players that would be impactful. And I think that I was surprised they weren't able to move off of the 42nd and the 59th picks overall. I was surprised they didn't move up. It doesn't mean that Nick Caserio wasn't trying to move up. Word on the street was he was trying to move up into the back end of the first round on Thursday night. So I was a little surprised they stayed put. And I do wonder if it's harder for teams when they get good, and especially when they get good through a lot of guile from the general manager. You know, Nick's made some really good trades. He's had a few picks and trades he'd like to have back, but he's made some good moves. I mean, you don't get this team flipped around this quickly from the time that Nick could actually start doing things. He wasn't cleaning up Bill O'Brien's mess anymore. You know, 2022 is really where I look at that's kind of the genesis of the Caserio era. To me, 2021 was just about nuclear cleanup. He got this thing flipped quickly, man. And so I wonder if it makes it harder to do deals with teams if they're just a little more skeptical. I'll probably ask him that when he comes on with us on Wednesday. Because I would imagine if that's the case, Nick probably saw that quite a bit in New England when he was there for 20 years. So let's get into the class here, though. Kamari Lassiter, the second pick, or I'm sorry, the second round, 42nd pick overall. I think he's a D'Amico Ryans kind of player. Fierce, competitive, loves to hit. His 40 time, as I mentioned, is probably what dropped him into the second round, but very solid, really loves football. All these guys love football. I'm being redundant when I say that. That's one thing I think Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans do an exceptional job of is sniffing out the guys that really enjoy and love playing football. I think if we were playing best case, worst case, I think the best case for Kamari Lassiter is he beats out Jeff Okuda and CJ Henderson to be the starting cornerback opposite Derek Stingley Jr. And he's probably going to get targeted quite a bit if that's the case. If he can hone his ball skills to, you know, because that's not a strong part of his game is necessarily his ball skills. If he can hone those, he's going to get some opportunities to get some turnovers and maybe even get into the conversation for rookie of the year. So we'll see. But I think that's the best case scenario is he wins that starting corner spot opposite Derek Stingley Jr. And he goes on to have an exceptional rookie season. I think that's in play. I think the worst case scenario for Kamari Lassiter is he is rotational depth at cornerback, nickel, dime, some slot. If he's not getting on the field as a corner, I'm guessing for sure he'll get on the field on special teams in some fashion. So, but I think that's the worst case. I don't think there will be a single game this year where we get handed the inactives, the healthy scratches for games, and Kamari Lassiter's name is on that inactive list.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I think every game he's healthy for, he'll be active for and contributing in some way. I think that's the worst case scenario. Blake Fisher, 59th pick overall, their other second round pick. I was a little surprised with the pick of Blake Fisher just because offensive tackle is not a major need for the Texans. I don't know if this is any sort of referendum on maybe where Titus Howard is health-wise. I don't think it is because Nick Caserio referred to Titus Howard as one of the better tackles in the league in the post-draft press conference. Clearly, the Texans were going best available player here with Fisher. If Fisher had stayed in school one more season, he'd have likely gotten to play left tackle instead of right tackle because Joe Ault, who went fifth overall in the draft, was the left tackle at Notre Dame. He probably would have gotten to play a season at left tackle and improve his draft stock. He came out instead, and now he's with the Texans. I think the best case for Blake Fisher, I think if Laremy Tunsil and Titus Howard are healthy, they're going to be your starting tackles. I think the best case for him is if one of them goes down, and they both went down last year at times, then the best case would be that he would be the next guy in line to get those reps at left tackle or right tackle. I do not want to see them mess around with him playing guard. I don't want to see that. I saw it with Titus Howard. I got PTSD over it. I do not want to see that. I think the worst case for Blake Fisher, yeah, he's going to make the team. He's a second round pick. I think the worst case is he makes the team and he's a guy who like half the time is inactive on game day. That's the worst case. Absolute worst case. I think this is going to skew much more towards best case than worst case, but that would be worst case. Kalen Bullock, third round, 78th pick overall. This is one that the Texans actually moved up to go get. Nick Caserio actually mentioned that they moved from 86 to 78 to go get Bullock. And when he talked to a few of the teams that were, you know, between picks 79 and 86 afterwards, they had told a few of the teams, he said, had told him that they were getting ready to draft Bullock. So that was a good move up if that's the guy you wanted. He's a former cornerback, converted into a safety at USC. So he's still got, I'll put it this way. He's still got some of his cornerback traits, both good and bad. The good, he's got outstanding coverage and ball skills. Really, really good. The bad is he seems to be somewhat allergic to tackling. So there's that. I think the best case for him is if Jalen Petrie comes back this year to training camp and he's performing the way he did during the season last year, is if Bullock beats him out for a starting safety role. I think that's best case scenario. I'd rather not see that. I'm rooting for Jalen Petrie. I'd rather see Bullock worked in as a dime nickel guy, whatever, however he gets on the field. And we know that Jimmy Ward, who suffered three different injuries last year, is probably going to get hurt at some point this year. And I think Bullock being the next guy up for Ward or Petrie would be great. But I think if Petrie comes in and he doesn't have a good camp and Bullock has a great camp, I think he's got a chance to unseat him. Why not? Worst case, I think he makes the team and he contributes on special teams. So that's what I think of Kalen Bullock. Best case, worst case. Cade Stover, the tight end out of Ohio State. I think this is Nick Caserio's favorite pick in the draft. He twice used the word elite to describe Stover's traits when discussing him in the post-draft process. Stover has only played tight end for two seasons, so there's a lot of upside with Stover. Oddly enough, I think the best case and worst case for Stover are actually fairly close to each other. I think he's got like the smallest window of what his best case and worst case are, because barring injury to somebody else, because Dalton Schultz is your starting tight end, So I think Cade Stover, I think he's going to surpass Brevin Jordan. He's a different player than Brevin Jordan, obviously a better blocker than Brevin Jordan. So I think Stover becomes your guy in two tight end sets to go with Schultz. And I could see him getting about like 25 snaps a game. The worst case is I think he's the third string tight end and he gets in on some three tight end sets or occasional two tight end sets. And he gets like 8 to 10 snaps a game. And I think he's going to play on special teams as well. So I think I think Cade Stover's best case and worst case are actually pretty close. Like I think his role is maybe the most defined of the rookies so far, at least in terms of the amount I expect him to play. So as far as the sixth and seventh round picks go, we'll go through these quickly. Jamal Hill, linebacker out of Oregon, really fast compared to Christian Harris. I saw in some places, like Christian, he's a converted safety who's playing linebacker, who played linebacker at Oregon. I think his best case is he makes a team as a third or fourth linebacker. I think the worst case is he's on the practice squad. Jawar Jordan, their other sixth round pick, really productive back out of Louisville. He's a little bit older. He'll be 25 when the season begins. But the battle between Jordan and Damian Pierce for the backup running back spot will be one of the more interesting battles in training camp. And I think the best case for Jordan is he beats out Damian Pierce to become the backup running back for the team. I think the worst case is he's on the practice squad as well. The three seventh round picks, Solomon Bird was a seventh round pick, the edge rusher out of USC. He's another older guy. They drafted a lot of older guys with these later picks. Solomon Bird is married with two kids. He's probably more mature than most of his current teammates and maybe half the coaching staff. I think the best case for him is he's like the fourth or fifth defensive end on this team. Kind of think of what Majai Sanders' role was with the team in 2023. I think that's the best case for Solomon Bird. Worst case, practice squad. Marcus Harris, the defensive tackle out of Auburn, all SEC player at Auburn, very stout at the point of attack, a little bit lighter. He's listed at 295. Seth Payne says he looks to be about 285. I think he can slide into the rotation in the defensive front, and I think that's the best case. Is he's a rotational piece on the defensive front interior. Honestly, that's the best case for all the guys they have on the interior of the D-line because there's no world wreckers there. Their biggest world wrecker on the interior of the defensive front is probably Denico Autry when he bumps inside. Worst case for Marcus Harris, practice squad. And then Ladarius Henderson, the tackle out of Michigan. I just don't know. I mean, he's a late pick at tackle on a team that is deep with tackles. They drafted a tackle in the second round. I know he can play a little bit of guard, but he's a tackle by trade. He started 10 games at left tackle, very accomplished collegiately, all Big Ten performer. But I think the best case for Ladarius Henderson, barring a slew of injuries at tackle, is the practice squad. And I think the worst case is he's cut. You know, he has to go find another place to play football. So that's my summary of the rookie class. I think it's unspectacular, but very solid. Definitely fills some needs. And it continues to be a slew of players who are at schools or come from schools with pedigree. That's been a staple with Nick Caserio. Nick Caserio has now drafted 32 players, and the only one that is a group of five or an FCS player, an FBS player, is Tank Dell, who's moved to FBS in the Big 12 the day after the year after Tank left. Oh, one of 32 true Power Five players. And you just think Georgia, Notre Dame, USC, Ohio State, Oregon, Louisville, USC, Auburn, Michigan. Those are the players that Nick is drafting. Those are the schools that he's drafting from. These are blue blood, pedigreed schools. All right. So that's my summary on the Texans draft class. Now let's get to some mailbag questions, shall we? The mailbag again, each and every week, houmailbag@gmail.com, houmailbag@gmail.com. Let's get it started. I got about probably 6-7 questions in here. This is from Lenny. Lenny, appreciate you listening to the pod. I think this is the first time I've gotten an email from Lenny. Anybody named Lenny says, which players still on their rookie deals are in jeopardy after seeing who we drafted this past weekend? Good question. Okay. So which guys that are younger guys, cheaper guys, who, quite frankly, you're inclined to want to keep them around because of the draft capital investment and they work for low wages, are in jeopardy after seeing who we drafted this weekend. I'll just give you the list of the ones I think are in jeopardy. And some of it has to do with the draft. Some of it just has to do with for example, Kenyon Green. You know, Kenyon Green's just running out of time. He's played very little football. He's been banged up. He's been in the building quite a bit. I know that during this offseason working out. I would love nothing more than to see Kenyon Green get his career turned around and him to take over that left guard spot. Because there's nobody waiting in the wings right now. It's not like they drafted somebody. Look, Jarrett Patterson might be able to play left guard for them. He did a nice job at center last year. I think Juice Scruggs is going to be the starting center for this team this year. So I think Kenyon Green, independent of anything they did in the draft, I think he's in jeopardy right now. I think, and I'm just going by class here, like the 2021 class, there's only three guys left. Davis Mills, Nico Collins, Brevin Jordan. I think they all make the team. Maybe Brevin's in a little bit of jeopardy, you know, if Tegan Quatoriano has a really good camp, because they're going to keep Cade Stover and they're going to keep Dalton Schultz. So that the Quatoriano-Brevin Jordan battle for third tight end, or maybe they keep four tight ends. Of the tight ends, I think Quatoriano is in more jeopardy than Brevin Jordan, just because Quatoriano has not been able to get on the field for his first 2 years, really very much at all. He's shown some promise when he's been out there, but he missed most, if not all, of last season. So I don't think anybody in 2021's class, Mills, Nico, Brevin, are in jeopardy. I think of the 2022 draft class, Kenyon Green, Tegan Quatoriano, and Damian Pierce, I think are in the most jeopardy.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
I know they love Damian, but Damian was not picking up this scheme. Now, if a light went on for him this offseason or goes on for him in minicamp and training camp, then I think he's fine. But I do think he is in a bit of jeopardy right now. He wasn't taking snaps offensively in the playoff games. So, you know, by definition, he's a fringe player right now. Maybe Kurt Heinisch is in a little bit of jeopardy, but I think they view Heinisch as part of their tackle rotation right now. So maybe Heinisch should be like on, like, maybe not red alert, you know, but maybe like a shade of orange. But I think from the 2022 class, the ones that need to have their head on a swivel, Kenyon Green, Damian Pierce, Tegan Quatoriano. Some of you will say Jalen Petrie. They ain't cutting Jalen Petrie. They just love Jalen Petrie. And I know he got benched in the Cleveland game in week 16. I know that they love Jalen Petrie. I don't think that he's in any jeopardy. As far as last year's rookie class goes, obviously CJ Stroud, Will Anderson, Juice Scruggs, Tank Dell, they're all going to be prominent parts of this team this year. Dylan Horton was doing some things last year with this team when he was in the rotation. Unfortunately, he got a cancer diagnosis during the season and he's beat it and he's going to try to get back and play football. But I think that's just such a wild card. I have to put him on the Jeopardy list right now. Hopefully. And by the way, I should mention, I was going to say, hopefully it goes away at John Mechie. I should mention Mechie as well. I apologize, Lenny. I'm kind of all over the place here. I'll sum it up at the end. But I think the fact that the Texans didn't take a receiver actually bodes well for John Mechie. I think he's in some jeopardy, but I think Xavier Hutchinson is probably in more jeopardy than Mechie of getting cut because of the crowded room at wide receiver. But Dylan Horton, I think, has got to be, you know, at least on the list. And I think Henry Toa also needs to be on the list with signing Azeez El-Shaair, drafting Jamal Hill, who I think has some better physical traits than Toa. And I know they're going to bring in other linebackers too, probably, I would imagine, in free agency still, veteran guys. So I think Toa needs to look out and Hutchinson needs to look out. So my complete list of guys on rookie deals that are in jeopardy or some degree of jeopardy, I would say Kenyon Green, Damian Pierce, Tegan Quatoriano, Dylan Horton, Henry Toa, and Xavier Hutchinson. Those would be the ones I'd keep an eye on. I don't think Jarrett Patterson is in jeopardy. Guy started 9 games at center and played well last year. All right. Joe Q It's a good follow-up question to Lenny's. Appreciate the question, Lenny. Appreciate you listening to the podcast. Joe Q, frequent emailer. What's the over-under on number of Texans 2024 picks that are active for week one? So not starting, but active for week one. I would say that I'd say Kamari Lassiter, active week one. I would say Blake Fisher, active week one. Doesn't mean they're going to necessarily play. Lassiter will play. Fisher may be a backup role. Bullock, active week one for sure. Cade Stover, 100% active for week one. Now we get to the sixth and seventh rounders, and it's more of a question of them making the team than being active in week one. But I would say that Jamal Hill feels like a guy who's going to make this team to play special teams. I think he'll be active. Oh, boy. Jordan versus Pierce. I'm going to give – oh, boy. That's a tough one, man. That's a tough one. Look, I've been saying that Damian Pierce might get traded or cut. I got to go Jordan. So I'll go six, Jordan, and then the three seventh rounders. I'm just going to say that the lineman out of Michigan, seventh rounder, inactive. I'm going to say the other two seventh rounders, Solomon Bird, I'll say inactive. And then Harris, the lineman out of Auburn, I'm going to go active. So I'm going to say seven. Seven of the nine. I think seven of the nine are active, one inactive, and one doesn't make the team. One is on practice squad. That's what I'm going to go with. And I'm thinking that number over. Like, to me, the only one I feel like up in the air on is Jawar Jordan out of Louisville. You know, if Damian Pierce beats him out. Good question, Joe Q. I got another one coming from you a little later in the mailbag here, but let's keep it moving, mix a few more in. Dave in Round Rock, there's been a lot of blowback on the Falcons for drafting Michael Penix after signing Kirk Cousins. Coincidentally, as I'm writing this, I'm listening to Ross Tucker talk about it. Shout out to Ross Tucker. He says kind of what I think. The Falcons are adopting the old Packers strategy of signing a QB and letting him sit to learn the position. Yes, pause. I'm pausing here. They're definitely doing that. I agree with Ross. Continuing with the question. I've noticed for a long time that QB is one of the few positions where players are expected to be successful right out of the gate. That's never made sense to me, as QB is the most complex position on the field and should take the longest to master. Other positions, you're given two, maybe three to develop. I hope what the Falcons have done works and it becomes more common. I think, first of all, there's only two or three quarterbacks every year that get, quote, rushed into playing. And a lot of times it's because they're the best quarterback on the team. I don't think teams anymore rush guy. I don't think teams approach it with, well, we use the first overall pick on him or the third overall pick on him, so we may as well put him in there. I think teams are getting more and more. I think they're getting smarter about that. Now, teams are ejecting on guys quicker now than they ever have if they do put them in there to start. And it's a very chicken and egg thing, because I'll use Zach Wilson as an example. Zach Wilson got thrown into the fire right away in with the Jets, and it was bad. It was bad. But he was probably their best option to win games. You know, I know Joe Flacco was on that Jets team too. Maybe they should have started Flacco. Is Zach Wilson – now Zach Wilson's a backup in Denver. Is he a backup in Denver now because he was bad at quarterback, or is he bad at quarterback because the Jets threw him in early? There's just no way to know. And I think every situation is different. I just think that it's not like they drafted Michael Penix to displace a guy who had been in the building for 10 years. And you could tell that things were kind of downsliding a little bit. You know, it's not like Matt Ryan towards the end with Atlanta. If they had drafted the equivalent of Michael Penix when Matt Ryan had kind of started to dip a little bit in like 2020, thereabouts, then, and they used a first round pick there, that would have made a lot of sense because they know what they're getting. He's been in the building. They've seen the decline. Kirk Cousins is what he is. Like, his main question is the Achilles fully healed? Kirk Cousins is going to go throw for 4,500 yards and 28 touchdowns. He's going to throw some stupid interceptions at some big points in the season. And if the team wins more than 11 or 12 games, it means that they were probably lucky in a few spots, like Minnesota was a couple of years ago. Kirk Cousins is who he is. So you know what you're getting in Kirk Cousins. I just don't know. I don't know why you're not using the eighth pick to try to improve in 2024. That's the part for me that I think it's some maybe overthinking of it. I would have drafted Rome Odunze, a wide receiver, get Kirk Cousins another weapon. That's what I would have done there. And then I think Atlanta fans would probably feel super excited about what that offense can look like with Bijan Robinson and Kyle Pitts. And they signed Darnell Mooney, and they've got Drake London in from a draft. And then they'd have Rome Odunze. I mean, now you're talking about a lot of really fun, young talent to put around Kirk Cousins. So that's my whole thing. The approach with Penix, the other thing with Penix, he's old. He's like 24 years old, and he's had two knee injuries and two shoulder injuries. They must really love him as a player, Michael Penix, obviously, but I'm not in favor of what Atlanta did. I'm fine with drafting guys and letting them watch for a couple of years. I'm glad the Texans didn't do it. And again, that's CJ Stroud is a case of what if you had done that? What if you had just sat CJ Stroud for the sake of letting him watch Davis Mills or Case Keenum play for 2 years? Some guys are equipped to do it. Probably more are not equipped to do it, but I just think that's because there's not a lot of good quarterbacks walking the earth right now. You know, there's no perfect way to nurture them. Good email, Dave. Good, thoughtful email. I appreciate that. BK is emailing in. He likes the Texans draft, and he says, my question is the real chances that we're taking along the defensive line. He says, I trust D'Amico Ryans to know exactly what the odds are. Just wanting to get your thoughts on how those cards fell. The odds on the defensive line being good. I love where the Texans are at defensive end right now. Love where they're at with the defensive ends right now. That's as good a defensive end room as there is in football for sure. With Will Anderson, Danielle Hunter, and D'Nico Autry. You could replace Will or Danielle Hunter with D'Nico Autry, and that duo, whoever it is still one of the better duos in the NFL. I feel strongly about that. Strongly about how good a player D'Nico Autry is. They're taking a big chance on the interior of the defensive line that they can get it done with journeyman and lunch pail guys. And I trust D'Amico Ryans. I trust with D'Amico Ryans. He's not going to sprinkle pixie dust and all of a sudden turn Tim Settle and Foley Fatakasi and guys like that into Pro Bowlers. But I do think that you'll get the best version of those guys with D'Amico Ryans. I do think that whatever you think they could be, that D'Amico can make them 20% better than that. You know, I think guys in the front seven should want to play for D'Amico Ryans. I think he is going to get the best out of those guys. All right. Appreciate the email, BK. Let's see where we're at with time right now, because I got a little pizza I got to go eat here shortly. But we got time for a few more questions in the mailbag. Matt Purcell emails in, says, can you suggest to Hannah the idea of having an H-Town blue-out game? B-L-U-E, blue out game, when we host the Titans. Hopefully it's a B-L-E-W out game when we play the Titans as well, and it's us blowing out the Titans. But he's saying, can you suggest to Hannah the idea of having an H-Town blue out game? They could give out H-Town blue t-shirts to all the fans as they enter, and it'll be a sea of H-Town blue for Amy Adams to see for 3+ hours. Perfect game to wear the alternate uniforms to. Make it happen, Sean. Matt, I think this is one of the best ideas I've ever heard. I think this is a tremendous idea. The only place where the Titans and Amy Adams, miserable person that she is, the only place that they can really make hay when it comes to the Texans being able to deploy only X amount of H-Town blue is with the uniforms. I don't know that there's any rules that prevent the Texans from giving out H-Town blue t-shirts to the crowd and making her see that. That is an outstanding idea. I love that idea. Now, they could also sell H-Town blue shirts and make millions of dollars, but I like that, man. T-shirts like on the back of each chair. So that even the chairs, the seats that are empty at kickoff, unless we got a bunch of thieves in the building, will all have H-Town blue on them as well. I am going to pass this idea along to one Hannah McNair, or as I like to call her, our queen. That's who she is. All right, last one, and it's Joe Q getting in again. Some of you need to email in some good questions so you can displace Joe Q. Joe Q gets in here all the time on the mailbag. When you juxtapose all the draft hype with your own career experience in business and management, here we go. What is your summary take on the efficiency of the market for talent in the NFL? Maybe we focus on the quarterback position in particular. And he points out that there's obviously an epidemic number of busts taken high in the first round. He says, I'm more interested if it's possible that there are potential stars who never see the field. I want to point you to three specific case studies that highlight that possibility. And he points to Tom Brady, Rich Gannon, and Brock Purdy as guys who were late round picks. Oh, Gannon might have been an undrafted free agent. I have no idea. But he was. These are all guys. They weren't bonus babies for sure. Brady, a six-round pick. Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant. Gannon, for 15 years, was a backup until 1999. And these guys get their chances at various times in their careers. Brady and Purdy, obviously, both very, very early. Gannon, much, much later. So if we're using those three specific case studies, you know, then the question becomes, is it possible there's an undiscovered future MVP languishing on a practice squad somewhere? My answer to that would be, sure, it's possible. It's absolutely possible. But I wouldn't bet on it. I think the commonality is you've got to be going to places that are obviously these three all. Gannon, I'd have to go look and see what the Raiders were when he got there in 99. I do know Gruden was the coach, and Gruden early on in his career was widely regarded as one of the best coaches in the NFL. He left the Raiders, went to the Bucs, and won a Super Bowl. He's a good coach. But I think that's probably one commonality, if we're using those three as case studies, is that if we're looking to try to find the next one of those guys, if we're trying to find traits in certain situations and use history as a roadmap to this sort of thing, which is what in the business world you would do, you know, you would use history as some sort of compass. They were all on teams that had good coaches. You know, Brock Purdy, Kyle Shanahan is an offensive genius. Rich Gannon, John Gruden was thought to be one of the better offensive coaches back in the late 90s. Now, I don't know that Gruden ever necessarily evolved as the game evolved, and that may be part of why it was so bad in Oakland and Las Vegas with Gruden. He also made horrible picks. He and Mayock, just awful, awful first-round picks. So that probably didn't help either. And then Belichick is the, you know, the greatest coach of this generation. So I think that they're all guys. You know, Gannon, I can't tell you what his collegiate career looked like, and we're talking all the way back in 1987, and he played at Delaware. But Brady and Purdy both played a ton of football in college. You know, like they weren't having to necessarily learn a ton on the job like a lot of guys on practice squads are now, probably guys that leave early, you know, guys that transfer, things like that. So I think there's that. But other than that, man, like I'm just looking at those. There's certainly a possibility. I think the toughest thing with football to me, Joe Q, just taking a step back with the sport, and I think this is what owners in football have. I think owners that come from the business world, not from the football world, but owners that come from the business world and come into the NFL have the hardest time with, is that football is not like another sports in general. It's not like business, where winning is measured differently. Winning in football is measured by actual winning on the field. There's a scoreboard, and only 16 teams each weekend can win. You know, I know it's bye weeks and things like that, but you know what I'm saying. Like, it's a zero-sum game. Every single win, there's a loser on the other side. The business world is much more fluid than that. You know, when your company is thriving, you're thriving. When you're struggling, you can find new ways to go win that don't necessarily involve eating into your conventional competitors. You know, you create another line of business. You know, you can find some efficiencies in what you're doing. It's not a zero-sum game. I mean, I guess ultimately the economy as a whole is a zero-sum game to some degree. But you know what I mean. Like, and I think to take it to your question, I think that's kind of what quarterback is. Quarterback is measured so often by winning and things like that, that it's the position that's most tied to winning. And so a lot of times the perception of some of these quarterbacks, well, they don't win games. You know, there's really only room for there to be, you know, 12 to 14 elite quarterbacks walking the earth by the way quarterbacks are measured these days. You know, I know that I'll use Justin Herbert as an example. Maybe that's an exception. People think Justin Herbert is elite and they won 5 games last year. So there's exceptions, but I think quarterback is sort of a microcosm of what football is as a whole, where there's really only so much room to allow for that many great quarterbacks. Certainly they're adjusting the rules to try to make it so that we see as many quarterbacks look great as possibly can, both the rules in the pocket with the quarterback, the rules with what DBs are allowed to do with wide receivers, et cetera. But good, thoughtful question. Really good. All right. That's it. I got to go eat lunch. I'm hungry. Sorry. A reminder, HOUmailbag@gmail.com. Big thanks again to everybody who emailed in a question. If you're listening to the podcast for the first time or you've been listening for a long time, send in some questions, man. Takes a second. HOUmailbag@gmail.com. Also, a quick reminder to subscribe, rate, and review. If you listen to this podcast, you're not getting it automatically. Excuse me. Click the subscribe button. You'll get it wherever it is you listen to your podcasts. We'll have a guest on Thursday, TBD, but I promise you that we will have one, and there will be another pod this week. And then probably the next big thing, schedule coming out in the next week or two. So we're looking forward to honestly, like, I'm not trying to be P.T. Barnum here. This is the schedule release that I am most looking forward to since becoming a Houston Texans fan. I'm not even saying like it's since I got to 6'10 in 2014. I'm saying ever. Because it's going to be such a severe flip from last year, you know, where it was all noon, literally all noon Sunday games till the last game of the year. This year, I think it's wide open. I think they could play opening weekend. I think they could play on Thanksgiving. I think they could play in London. They could play on Black Friday. They could be one of those Christmas games. The Texans are big box office this year. So let's get the podcast numbers to reflect that. Tell a friend about the podcast. Subscribe, rate, and review. All right. For my producer, Anthony Irwin, I am Sean Pendergast. We're out of time. I will see all of you on Thursday for the next episode of the Utopia Football Podcast. God bless all of you for subscribing and listening. Have a wonderful day.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.